first song this morning will be number 747. 747.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall be lead. Till every foe is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next of victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Before our prayer, we'll sing number 969.
Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Someone's praying, my Lord, kumbaya. Someone's praying, my Lord, kumbaya. Someone's praying, my Lord, kumbaya. Come by here, my Lord, come by here, come by here, my Lord, come by here, come by here, my Lord, come by here.
Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful to you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father. For we know that it was through your grace that we were able to rise up, to live this life. It is you that provides that gift of life for us, Heavenly Father. We also thank Heavenly Father for this opportunity to come together, partake into another worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. Pray so that we'll do that in a manner that will be pleasing unto you. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for thy comfort. You comfort us at times that we are going through discomfort, Heavenly Father. Thank you for all the blessings that you provide for us. So many that we can never be thankful enough for all that you do. We know that everything that we see in this world, Heavenly Father, it is because of you. It is because through your power, through your love that you provided all this for us. We know, Heavenly Father, it is you that puts the smile on our faces, that provides all of our joy. And we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. We thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for being by our sides, during times of grief, the encouragement that you give us to always become better individuals, to become better Christians, Heavenly Father. I'm so thankful for all that you do for this world, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Heavenly Father, this time that you will continue to be with this world as we continue to deal with this pandemic. Pray that you will help us to eventually find a cure. We know that you will provide that cure for us, Heavenly Father. Pray that you help us to all be patient, to all be considerate of others, so that we can do our part and to make sure that we keep each and everybody healthy, Heavenly Father. I also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with this nation as we prepare for this new transition, Heavenly Father. We still see the division. We've seen the anger and the chaos that can result from the differences people have, Heavenly Father. And we know that through your guidance and through your grace, that you will help this nation to come together, help people to love one another, and to be able to deal with our differences in a way that will not be harmful to each other, Heavenly Father. I also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with our congregation. You'll be with the leaders of this congregation as they continue to provide the needs for each and everyone here. They tend to the needs of this building. And to continue to put the measures in place to keep us safe, keep us healthy, Heavenly Father. So thankful to them for that. Thankful for everyone that contributes to each and every service to make sure that we are safe, that we are comfortable. We also pray at this time that you will be with our brother Skippy Norman, as he prepares to bring us the lesson this morning. We pray that we will give him our most undivided attention. We know that the time and the effort that he puts into putting these lessons for us, and we pray that that which we learn today, that we will be able to apply to our daily lives. We also pray that you will be with all those that are mentioned sick, Heavenly Father. There were so many on the sick list, Heavenly Father, that you would be each and every one of those individuals, that you'd be with their families. We know that how important our health is to everyone, to each and every one of us, and we pray that they will be given the proper treatment that is needed so they can be returned to their much-wanted health. And we pray that you will be in each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, as we begin this new week. Pray that you will continue to keep us safe, keep each and every one of us healthy, Heavenly Father. We pray that we will continue to set the proper example, Heavenly Father, when we are amongst our peers, that we will do things that make you proud of each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. Pray that you will continue to strengthen us, keep us from any temptations that we may face. Watch over us as we return to our homes later on, Heavenly Father. Keep us safe through this week. For these things we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He
Praise and then to glory go. He gave his precious life for me because he loved me so. We've come to that portion of our service now where we take the opportunity to remember the great sacrifice made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the taking of the Lord's Supper. Before us, we have the emblems of that holy feast. We have the bread, which represents his body, and the fruit of the vine. It represents the shed blood on the cross. The scripture tells us he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after the supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood which is given to you." At this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Father, first and foremost, thanking you so much for getting us up this morning, Father, but also thanking you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross to die for the remission of our sins. Father, we ask at this time that as we take up this bread, Father, that we do so that it is the way that is pleasing unto thee, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, we thank you that we can gather today to remember Christ and his death upon the cross. We thank you, dear Father, for this fruit of the vine, the perfect symbol of his blood that was shed for us. Help us to take it in a worthy way, dear Father, and to put our minds upon Christ, not only as we partake, but every day of our lives, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen.
As always, it is our desire here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ that all who wish to partake of the Lord's Supper have an opportunity to do so. If by any reason you've been overlooked, we ask that you will signify by raising your hands. Seeing no hands, we move to another portion of our service, that is of giving. Let us now give thanks for that opportunity. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we once again come to you, bow, Father, again thanking you so much for the many, many blessings that you have given us, Father, even though we don't deserve it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to give back such a small portion of what you have so greatly given to us. We ask that we do so, Father, we do so that it is a way that is not grudgingly or out of necessity. For your word says that God loves a cheerful giver. We do this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The song of invitation this morning will be number 888. Let's mark that. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 494. Those who can stand, please stand.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble.
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Ephesians. That's Ephesians chapter 4, and that'll be verses 11 through 16. Chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and I have the New King James Translation. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Well, that's a long sentence. Brother Skippy.
Say good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us to see this another Lord's Day, to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity you once again given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus on your word and what it has to say to us. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we have fallen short of in our lives. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to talk this morning as we going in this new year, trying to make each and every day count. We want to talk about the organization of the church. God wants his church to grow. God wants his church to be organized. But there are many ministers that don't want to see the church grow, nor does it want to see the church organized, because they may think that they will lose their power. So they don't train men on leadership. Some preachers have theories on certain subjects that qualified elders would not tolerate. So in order to be able to advocate the pet doctrine, they do away with the eldership. And some just don't want any elders or deacons at all. But I'm glad that we have elders. And I know at this particular time that we have a deacon, but we're moving toward this year of having more deacons, because we have discussed that in the elders' meeting. And what we need to do is, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. But my task this morning is to help you to know how you relate to each other, but also know how the Lord's church is organized, the roles and the responsibilities. Because God is concerned about leadership. And this is serious business. And it must not be taken lightly. Well, first of all, let's look at the minister's role. Number one, he is an evangelist. Not only is he an evangelist, and as an evangelist, he preached the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, Paul challenged Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. But he said, watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. And make full proof of that ministry. But not only is he to preach the word, but he is to equip the saints to do ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12. He is to set the church in order. Whatever is wrong in the congregation. Titus chapter 1. And verse number 5, it is the evangelist's responsibility to take the discernment of the scripture and life experiences and fix it. But he is also a servant of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. When you look at that word servant in this particular text, you find he's an under rower. An under rower was a galley slave who rowed a ship from the bottom tier of the ship. Their job was to move the ship forward for the captain. The minister is to be an under rower for the kingdom of God. He is to move the church forward for the captain of the ship. Well, who is the captain? Is God Almighty. How does the minister know God's directions? By listening to God speak to him through scripture and prayer. That means the minister's prayer time must be a priority. The minister is on display to everyone around him. The minister is held to a higher standard by the world than other Christians. He is to set the example before the congregation, but he is also a spiritual mentor. Paul tells the Corinthians that he looked at them as his spiritual children, and he was their spiritual father. He wasn't saying he was God, but he was saying that he was going to lead them by example. He was going to correct them through the word. A minister should be regarded as a spiritual father. The minister should be concerned for the security, for the comfort, for the growth of the congregation that God has called him to. He communicates with the church and he builds relationships. He works side by side with the elders and with the deacons. But then secondly, there is the elders' role. God wants good elders to look after his church. So he tells us what he expects of these men. Most of the qualifications for elders and are listed in 1 Timothy and also in Titus. And it have to do with his character and his reputation. According to Paul's instruction to Titus, these are qualifications for good elders. He's a good husband. He's a good father. He's not someone who has to have his own way, not overbearing. He doesn't get angry easily. He's not a drinker. He's an honest, gentle man who likes helping people out. He rules his household well. Elders have the responsibility to themselves to be diligent students of the Bible, in order that they may be able to teach others and also guard the flock against false teachers. Not only do they guard the flock, but they feed the flock. They keep members from straying, bringing back in the fold those who stray. Admonish everyone who needs such, and keeping wolves and false teachers away from the flock. Know each member of the congregation, their needs, their abilities, their gifts, and their interests. According to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 through 31, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. They must take heed to themselves to see that they keep growing. James chapter 1 and verse 21 and 21 and 22. And these are not optional. These are the requirements for the job. Because Paul says an elder must be these things. But why must an elder be a good husband, be a good father? Because the elders are role models for the rest of the congregation. An elder is supposed to be an example of what God wants every man in the congregation to become. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 3. He is the measuring rod. He's the yardstick of what goodly Christian men should be. But not only that, he's a Presbyterian. In other words, a term that signifies maturity. Not just maturity in age, but it's sad to say maturity doesn't always come with age. But it's maturity of spirits. It's maturity of wisdom. It's maturity of discipline. But not only that, he's an overseer. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The term used to refer to a manager or a supervisor. It's another New Testament word that gives the same sense of meaning, a steward. One who runs or oversees the master's household. But he's a shepherd or a pastor. See, a lot of preachers now that are running around calling themselves pastors that don't even meet the qualifications. They even haven't ever been ordained as an elder. So an elder, he's a shepherd. He's a pastor. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1 and 2, Peter talks to the elders of a certain church, and he says to them, to the elders among you, I appeal as fellow elder, a witness of Christ, suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds or pastors of God's flock that is under your care. And so notice that. Whose flock are the elders shepherd of? Is God's flock. The flock belongs to God. And so elders will be held accountable to God for how they lead and how they protect his flock. An elder should shepherd the flock of God for only one reason. He loves Jesus and he wants to protect his sheep. Shepherds in the Bible time were not someone who showed up in a stranger's pastor, put in 8 hours, and then went home. They were genuine relationship between the shepherds and the sheep. Through long time spent together and the frequent touching, the shepherds smell like the sheep. Shepherds is not about, it's not about making decisions or running the church. Shepherd is about developing relationships and caring for the sheep. Elders communicate with the flock. I've learned over these 37 years in ministry that a congregation would gladly obey and submit to the elders, and greatly work would be done by membership if there were better communication and closer relationship between elders and the flock. Elders, you are shepherds. You are shepherds of the entire flock. Make sure that you foster a gentle, kind, and loving relationship with the flock. Elders should protect and encourage the preacher, and the preachers in turn shall protect and encourage their elders. Elders, preachers, and deacons must work together. And that is what the congregation needs to see. It needs to see us working together. And I'm glad that we are working together here at this congregation. And so we need to understand there is the minister's role. There is the elder's role. But then there is the deacon's role. And so what is the deacon's role? Whereas when Paul tells Timothy and Titus to appoint elders in the church, elders are specifically called to pastor or shepherd the church, to lead and protect the congregation. Paul tells Timothy that elders are to manage or oversee the church. But by contrast, when Paul talks about deacons, he tells Timothy that once they have been tested, deacons then can serve as deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10. See, a good deacon is one who has a specific ministry or ministries they focus on. A good deacon look for ministry and serve the people of the church. And ideally, the men a church selects as deacons should be people who are already involved in the ministry. They are not just sitting back, waiting to be chosen for the job. Paul said that these men first must be tested. And I suspect that means given responsibilities to see what they do with them. That's why they must be trained. That's why As we go into this year and finding deacons, we're going to train them first. We're going to prove them. And then we'll put them in. And so, because that's what the scripture tells us to do. It tells us to prove them. And secondly, those deacons are the servants of the physical needs of the congregation. Whereas the preacher and elders focus on the spiritual needs of the congregation, deacons are the servants of the church. And they are responsible for whatever services may be delegated or assigned to them by the elders. The Bible does not tell us how the local congregation is to be organized or administered, but it does provide two things: the elders to oversee and the deacons
as official servants. The Bible does not spell out what these duties are, but they are many. Therefore, we draw a conclusion this morning from three things. First of all, the elders oversee the flock, and this includes the oversight of the deacons. There are many things which needs to be done that the elders need helpers. Elders delegate to the deacons what needs to be done within the range of their qualification, which be the works of the deacon. Secondly, the deacons understand that they are not elders, but their qualifications are of such nature that they are qualified to render a wide range of services. And then thirdly, they are servants of the church. Their duties would tie in with the type of service with what the church needs. They are also need help. And so they inform the elders. They inform the congregation what areas they need help in. When responsibilities have been delegated to an individual or a group according to their ability, the things that need to be done, have enough faith in the people you delegate to carry out the assignment. Because we are all in this thing together. Being a deacon is a proven ground for men to grow into other ministries. A great deacon sets the patterns for the rest of the church. A great deacon shows what it means to be a servant. Their servanthood should be so evident that others in the church follow their example and become servants too. So the deacons work together with the minister and the elders. But then there is the membership. The objective of a healthy leadership is to create a healthy fellowship so that the whole church is in the process of becoming what God intended for it to become. But we as a whole congregation, we have a part to play. Our actions, both personal and cooperatively, also plays an important part. The members are to serve. You are to serve. They are to help with the day-to-day routines of the church with whatever area it needs help in. But then they also are to submit. And so the word submit means to line up under. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. God expects us to work together through hard times, through difficult times. And not everything will go smoothly all the time. And it's a sad fact of life that not everyone is for you. No matter how open, no matter how loving you are toward them. And I'm here to tell you this morning that sometimes you got to work with those who want to work. Folk that don't want to work, you leave them in God's hand. You let God deal with that. And so don't waste a lot of energy on people that don't want to grow, that don't want to move, that don't want to work, that always complaining and only have sight and not faith. They will hinder the growth of the church if you allow them. We got to be the church that God intends us. We got to live out what you have learned and be taught, and how we behave, and I want you to understand this, that how we behave as Christians will make or break the witness of the church in the community. I want y'all to hear that. Because if you're out there talking about members to others who are not members and members somewhere else, it hurts us in the community. People are not want to come to no congregation where there is strife and where there is backbiting and all of that. It hurts us in the community. We got to be the church that God's intended. We got to work together with each other. God has set it up so. The minister's role, the elder's role, the deacon's role, and the membership role. And if we're all staying in our lane and doing what we need to be doing, the church will grow. And God will be pleased with it. The church is to uphold and to proclaim the glorious truth of the gospel. The effectiveness of the mission of the church depends in great amount upon the peace and the harmony of the members of the congregation. You have to build a comforted congregation and leadership. You build it. You build it by nurturing respectful relationships between leaders and members. The Bible is very clear that congregations have a responsibility to cultivate positive relationships with the leadership. And the leaders must cultivate a positive relationship with their members. And I suggest to you this morning, I'm calling upon you this morning to pray for your minister. I need prayer. Pray for me. Pray for the leadership. Pray for now and pray for the future leaders of this congregation. Pray for the congregation that we do what we need to do, that we do what we can to make this congregation the way God intended it for it to be. Let's do our part. Let's be about being a light for Jesus Christ. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Church, God has set it up. And anytime we go against what God has set up, it's going to be problems. It's going to be struggles. We're going to do it, and let's do it the way God has set it up and the way God intends for it to be. Yeah, if you're here this morning, that's all I got. If you're here this morning, you're not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God's been good to us. He spared our lives just one more time to get it right with him. God left us a plan, and we all got to follow that plan if we want to be saved. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here in a Christian, you've not been living as a Christian should. You haven't been doing your part. Now is the time to get it right. Let's be the congregation that God intends for us to be. Let us stand as we sing the song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? Are you God?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to learn more about your word. With that word, we'd be able to apply it to our daily lives. Pray, Father, for the people who are sick. Pray for them to get back to their much-wanted health. We also pray, Father, for the people who are traveling, that they may get to their destination safely. Watch us, guide us, and keep us safe, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.